Welcome to Inspiration at Work, where you will hear from business leaders from around the world on what they are doing at work and through work to make the world a better place. This is the most positive talk radio show on the planet, where we have evicted the tenets of cynicism and criticism and set up residence on Inspiration Boulevard, right in the heart of Atlanta, Georgia. And now, your host, America's Chief Inspiration Officer, Terry Barber.
We have an incredible show for you today, and none other than my dear, precious friend, Lori Beth Jones, is our guest. Lori Beth, say hello to the folks, and thank you for being here.
Terry, thank you so much for inviting me, and hello to all those who desire to dwell on or in or near Inspiration Boulevard.
So, Lori Beth, you clearly have quite a following here in Atlanta. Did you know that?
Well, you know, I lived in Atlanta for almost a year, and I just fell in love with the city and the people and the bus system. I didn't have a car, and I got around just fine. And, I loved Atlanta. Love it still. So
yeah, and clearly you have left your mark here. When I posted the fact that I was going to have you on the show today, I had several people write in wanting to make sure I said hello and to also offer up some questions at the right time. So anyway, this it's going to be a really fun show. What I need to tell people in advance is that you and I have a very long-lasting relationship.
And we do. I'm not some just drop-in guest.
That's my point.
We've got roots. We're family.
We're real family, and we've had some really fun experiences through the years.
And I was actually at your wedding.
Yes, you were, as a matter of fact, for which I will always be grateful. And what a wonderful memory. In fact, we still have your beautiful smiling face up on our wedding wall, which is great. And even previous to that, I love telling the story, as I know you've told before also, about you and I getting so caught up in conversation at a couple of airports, we missed our flights.
The wind's in action.
The wind's in action, exactly. Well, what a nice segue into where we're going today. Lori Beth, one of the things I recall about our very early conversation when I started chatting with you about what you're doing and what you're involved in, one of the things you said to me was, you know, I've always felt like I needed to throw my nets on the other side of the boat. And that has really stuck with me. Would you share with us a little bit about what you mean by that?
Well, it's certainly imagery that was given to us in the gospel when the fishermen had worked without any harvest or any yield for a long time fishing, and Jesus basically told them to throw their nets on the other side of the boat, and they had such a harvest that it almost swamped the boat. And I think it's a wonderful story about how we need to think differently in order to really stay in touch with the Lord. He doesn't want to do things the same old way, particularly if we're not getting results anymore. You got to think about this differently. And he's constantly innovating. When you look at creativity, I just loved watching sea creatures. You know, there's the jellyfish, and then there's the starfish, and then anemones. And in fact, one of the things I look forward to most about transitioning out of this life is knowing the mind of God, that creativity, that innovation that says, hey, what about this? Let's try this. So what it meant for me personally was, when I got the idea to write about Jesus as a business leader, there was quite a lot of criticism really coming from religious circles about that. And what I was told in prayer was, you know, you're to throw the net on the other side of the boat. We don't want to get people who already claim to know God or think they know everything about Jesus. We want to reach the other fish that are out there swimming and maybe haven't been attracted to the bait that people have been putting out for them. So that's why I wrote the book in a different way. I didn't use words disciples or sin or any of those concepts that sometimes make it sound dated. And, the book took off and really, I think, appealed to a new audience, which is, I think, what the message that I was designed to give.
from what I've read just recently, it seems like it that particular book even passed the 1 million mark in sales.
You know, it's like the Energizer Bunny. It just still keeps kicking. I was in a bookstore the other day, and then I saw it in the path right there on the management shelf. And it's been, you know, almost 16 or 17 years, so that's it's been wonderful.
Yeah, congratulations on that. Incredible. And it really laid a foundation in many ways for the other things that you have begun to do, because you took it upon yourself to really begin to cast a fresh perspective about this man Jesus to the world. And I love some of the titles that that you've used, but not the least of which is Jesus in Blue Jeans.
Yes.
Who'd have ever thought of that? And tell us a little bit about what's in that book.
Well, the book is really dear to me. It's the third one that was published in the series. And when I was 19, I was living in the woods, and I was in prayer, and I saw this figure kind of approaching me across a meadow, and it was a man in blue jeans. And as he got closer, I looked up, and it was Jesus. And I gasped, and I said, "What are you doing in blue jeans?" And he said, "I came to them in robes because they wore robes. I come to you in jeans because you're wearing jeans." And it was just another take on that gospel miracle of Jesus appearing to us in current day, current garb, speaking current language, just as he did back then. He did not stick out wearing a robe. Everybody wore robes. He did not stick out wearing sandals. Everybody was wearing sandals. So that's the mystery and the intrigue of this God that we love and serve, is he appears among us as us. And do we see him? Do we recognize him? Or are we looking for the man on the cross with the crown of thorns? You know, so he's here today, alive and well.
So I know that you've worked with some great brand names in terms of client groups: Tyson Foods, Purina, Nestle, Neiman Marcus, Pfizer, and American Express, and others. And I'm just curious. I mean, it's no doubt about who you are, what you stand for. What is usually the attitude when you speak to business in and around the kinds of values, in particular as it relates to Jesus, that you find? What kind of receptivity do you find?
Well, I was asked that question by a reporter, and they said, "How much business do you think you've lost by being so prominently pro-Jesus?" And I said, "I have no idea. I can only tell you the business I got as a result of being prominently pro-Jesus." And the approach that I take, and one of the themes of Jesus in Blue Jeans is a practical guide to everyday spirituality, is that apart from the nobility of these concepts and the beauty of these concepts, they just plain work. You know, Jesus said, "I show you a better way." A better way to what? To be abundant in your living, in your thinking, in your business. To have peace of mind, peace of heart, to make a difference. And I believe that the CEOs and the leaders that I've been privileged to meet see their work as cause, that they are there to truly make a difference in the lives of the people they serve, as well as the community at large. So those are the kind of people that I want to be around. And it doesn't really matter if they're a CEO or a preacher or a social worker or a professor or the man I met in an elevator yesterday who was a CEO. I asked him what he had done that day, and he said, "Well," and I had gone shopping yesterday because I've got a speaking engagement, and he said, "Well, I'm just working to keep people working."
What a nice little testimony found in the elevator. Hey, your latest book, Jesus Career Counselor. I love this. I loved everything about it, including the size, by the way, for a guy who's a book collector and book lover. I love how all this came together. But anyway, what a neat perspective. How did you get the vision and the perspective to write this book? What drove you to this?
Well, before we segue into that, I just want to tell your listeners that you have been so instrumental in my life as a person, but also as a professional. And you were the key pivot point to help bring Jesus Life Coach and the Four Elements of Success to the publisher's attention and then to the world at large. So if it hadn't been for you, those two books would not have been born, and every book that I write flows from the other books. So who knows how important it was for you to open that gate for the water to flow in at that point in my career. So I just want to officially say thank you, Terry Barber, for your vision and your persistence in helping get a message out.
Well, thank you for that affirmation and encouragement.
Now, go ahead. Did you want to say something?
No, I'm just blown away by your gratitude because it was nothing but a joy. So thank you.
Well, it really made a difference to me in so many ways. And with Jesus Career Counselor, you know, the premise was, as I look at infomercials and commercials and the messages that are paid to get out to us, my background, as you know, is in advertising and marketing. We have a similar background in that regard. Mm-hmm. So I'm always conscious of what's the message, who's putting it out, and what are they telling us we need? And it looked like they base their messages on two dreams that humans have, either to achieve or to attain, how to get rich or how to attain status. And so I asked in prayer one day, I said, Lord, what do you dream for us? You know, I know what we're dreaming about, but what are your dreams for us? And it just flowed, these 12 dreams. The original title of the manuscript was called The 12 Dreams of the Holy Spirit. And someone very practical repackaged it as Jesus Career Counselor. You know how marketing people can be.
Yeah, someone did good with that, Lori Beth.
Yes, they did, because if you do these 12 things, you will have an amazing career. You'll be prolific and profound and go well beyond any perceived retirement years or any limitations that you have bought into.
And it's really interesting that you have built it in many ways, just as you mentioned, in and around some of your previous work and your previous research concerning the elements. And I know we've got a lot of folks listening who are probably very familiar with this because they follow you, but there are many who haven't. Would you be willing to take just a minute and give people an overview of the elements and how you see life and how you see people as a result of that?
Sure. Well, in Genesis 1:1-3, it says that God created everything that exists basically using the four elements of earth, water, wind, and fire. In the beginning, the earth was without form and void, and the spirit of Ruah hovered over the face of the water, and God spoke and said, light be, and light was, light being fire. So as I pondered that over these last 15 years, it's just amazing to me that I believe we as people have all of the elements within us. We are made in God's image, and at the same time, we tend to have two of those four elements in more abundance, let's say, than the other two. So here's a quick overview. Fire is hot. It's passionate. It is focused. It is results-oriented. It is always seeking fuel. It's hungry. It commits itself fully to the task. It immerses itself passionately in whatever it's doing. So those are fire people. The earth people they do their work underground. They're very considerate, deliberate, thoughtful, cautious. They like things in a predictable order. They believe in accuracy. Your earth people are the ones who can give you a blow-by-blow account if you can get them to talk about who was standing where, who needs to be sitting where, what pipe needs to connect to what pipe. Those are the earth personality types. And then you have the water personality types. Water goes with the flow. It seeks the path of least resistance. It is the most sensitive. If you touch water, the whole surface feels it, whereas if you just touch earth, it only feels it in that, you know, regard, at least from our knowledge base. So waters are I wanted so much to be a water. Shapeshifters, they can turn, they can change form from steam to ice to rain to water. Water seeks to give life to everything it touches. So those are the water personality types. And then you have the wind, and the winds are the messengers. They are the ones that hover and see everything that's going on. They are unpredictable. They can move fast. They can move slow. They can disappear just when you think you need them. They can come out of nowhere. And the wind is the breath of life. So you and I tend, we share that wind.
Yes, we do.
Personality type. And here we are on a radio show broadcasting into the unknown, into the into the atmosphere, this passionate message that we have. So, and then to go into more detail, we're a blend of all of these. So I'm a wind fire. And my least prevalent element is earth, which is why you and I would often miss our plane connections, because I would not look at my ticket to see where I needed to be next.
How true.
So those are earth, water, wind, and fire. And I believe God wants us to be excited about our life like fire. He wants us to be grounded in our habits like earth. He wants us to be transformed and transformative in our life, with our life, like water, and he wants us to be released in our life, like the wind releases messengers and seeds and the scent of spring.
Not only...
So those are the organizing body of the elements there.
And I love the fact that this is so simple. And it's one of those things that can truly transcend cultures, can it not?
Yes, that's what, as I did the research, every culture except ours, the West, has a deep respect for the elements. We think we can tame them, but we're learning that they have a mind of their own. And by that I mean they're not tameable by human power. So, yes, it's cross-cultural, and I wanted it also to be visual so that children could get it. So many of the personality profiles that are out there, and I've taken so many of them, they're great. They're all based in solid research, and they all contribute something, but I just have a hard time remembering them unless there's a picture involved or a visual involved. So that's what we're finding with companies that are, we had one company actually pay us for the right to translate the elements into Portuguese because, you know, every culture sees the elements the same way, but not every word-based profile can be translated accurately.
So you are clearly involved in a lot of team-building kinds of activity in terms of your consultant work, right?
Right.
So how is it that you use the elements in a team-building environment?
Well, it's just amazingly fun, if I can use those words, because you know, we get people to go into a corner. Fire's over here, water's over here, earth's over here, wind's over there. And then that group gets to figure out why they're the most awesome element, the wind. Why are you the most awesome element? And then they call it out to the moderator. And then I place them opposite their opposite element, and then they get to have fun saying, fire's, you know, what's so hard about, what drives you crazy about working with the waters? And they'll say, oh, you're so wishy-washy. You never make a decision. You're always concerned about people's feelings. And then the waters get their chance, you know, what drives you crazy about working with fires? Well, you guys think you know it all. You never listen. You aim, you know, you fire and then aim. You don't consider the long-range consequences of your actions. So we have this, you know, kind of controversial thing going back and forth. And then I say, why do you need your opposite element? And then they get quiet and they have to realize that fires need the water to calm them down, to keep them harnessed, to make sure they don't destroy everything. And the waters need the fires for excitement and motion and getting things done. So those are just two of the opposites in the interest of time. But what we're finding as a result with teams, and we have companies now around the world that are using this in teams, it gives you a vocabulary to handle conflict. You can say, you know, you need to turn your fire down a little bit, or, all right, we need an earth meeting around the details, or, let's think about this like the wind would think about it. Let's say anything is possible. Let's think up crazy ways to approach the solution. So it gives the vocabulary of extending grace to one another. And the other thing it does for leaders is it gives them permission to be fully in their element, knowing that they need to team probably with their opposite element in order to bring a full balance and the full picture before they move forward.
You know, the other thing I love about it in the context of team building that I've seen actually in one of your sessions was the degree of empathy that begins to rise.
Yes.
Which is huge. So it's no longer something where people don't have any sense of understanding or appreciation for somebody else that is different. And so the higher the degree of empathy goes, the higher the level of appreciation goes. So that has been a wonderful form of applying the principles in a team building environment. So Laurie Beth, you have not only a lot of books, but you just have a lot of teachings that you've developed through the years. I'm going to do to you what I did to your friend, Ken Blanchard. If you could only choose one from this point forward, of all the things that you teach, you could only choose one from this point forward to carry forth and to teach, what would it be?
I think, Terry, it would have to be around the elements. And here's why. Because it is cross-cultural, because it is visual, because children can get it, I think there's a chronic and desperate shortage of self-esteem and self-knowledge in leaders. We are taught that we need to be something we're not, and so we strive for that. Or we criticize people for being who they are because they're not who we think we should be. So if understanding the elements, and King Solomon said, "Oh Lord, it is you who have taught me to understand the elements." If we could gain an appreciation and a respect for one another in order to work together, I believe we could bring the kingdom of God here faster. It would help reduce conflict. It would help, I think, restore a sense of brotherhood and sisterhood and family and appreciation to the world. And so that's probably what I would do.
That's powerful. So can you apply the principles or the elements in dealing with somebody who's living below their potential?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you can say, we had this situation the other day working with someone who, you need to kick up your fire. They're acting like waters all the time because they think that's what's expected of them. And yet their personality profile revealed a high degree of fire that was just buried and in their behaviors. And it was like, you have this within you. You need to kick this up. And we can do that. All of us have all of the elements within us. So do we give permission for that opposite element within us to rise up? Sometimes it can be a game. I'm planning a trip to France, and so I'm doing all the earthwork to see if I can do it. Because as a wind, I'm treating it like a game. It's fun. Now, if someone told me I had to do it, that might be another issue. But it's very important for us to understand who we are. And I have a personal trainer, and my trainer was telling me, she went through the workshop, and she said, "I've never enjoyed my mother until now, and I realize she's a wind who's trying to be an earth water, but it doesn't suit her. She tries to be nurturing, but now that I see she's a wind, I engage her in activities, and I say, 'Mom, let's go run errands together. Mom, let's do this.'" And she said, "It's like seeing a whole new person." And her mother didn't change. Her eyes did. My trainer's eyes did as a result of this new knowledge.
Wow. Powerful. Laurie Beth, I know you have a lot of experiences in terms of what you may consider to be defining moments in your life. Would you just pick one to share with us, something that you can look back on and you say as a result, you see life different going forward?
I would have to say it was seeing Jesus in blue jeans. the knowledge of him being with me and relating to me and wanting to hang out with me. And perhaps that sounds irreverent or too casual, and I don't mean it like that at all. You know, Jesus called us brothers and sisters, and what it showed me too is that he wants companionship. He wants to hear my thoughts during the day and talk about silly things that happen. He wants to laugh with me over a good glass of wine at night over my day. He wants to be with us. You know, the one gift that he asked to be transferred into paradise with him was the people. It was the only thing he wanted to take with him from his life on earth, the people. So the knowledge of him being with me in blue jeans, and I catch sightings of him frequently in that garb, lets me know that I'm not alone and that I am loved and appreciated for who I am enough that he wants to be with me.
What a great story. You have just a tremendous amount of resource that that's available. Would you be willing to just tell us where people can go, whether a website or email, something, so that they could find some of the resource and take advantage of that?
Sure. It's just go to lauriebethjones.com, L-A-U-R-I-E, Beth, B-E-T-H, Jones.com. We have a coaching program. We have a Path for Kids program, Path for Teens, Path for Adults. We train people in how to understand the elements and teach it so that they can make a living from it. We have a Path community call that happens once a week where anybody can come and talk about their problems or what's going on in their life. I believe we have something like 300 licensed trainers around the world, probably a number of them in Atlanta. And we're about building a community, and our mission is changing the world one mission at a time. And we want everyone we meet to be clear about their mission, because when that happens, we've multiplied the world-changing effect. So we're just having an amazing, the people that God is bringing to us, it just makes me weep. They're so beautiful. And Terry, you are certainly among the first and dearest treasures that God brought me on this journey.
Well, you are very kind, and Lori Beth Jones, I am so grateful for the fact that somewhere in the past that God intersected my life with yours, and my life is different because of you and your investment into me. So thank you for that, and thank you so much for sharing with us today here at Inspiration at Work. You have been listening to Lori Beth Jones here at Inspiration at Work and your host, Terry Barber. And until next time, just want to just encourage you in all that you do today, you be the most inspiring person that you know.
You have been listening to Inspiration at Work on the GII Network with your host, Terry Barber. Find us on the web at www.inspirationboulevard.com and follow us on Twitter at Inspiration Boulevard.